don't look back, let's go. Set the pace, watch me steal the show. Higher ground, yeah, I'm rising fast. This is my moment, it's built to last. Keep the focus.
Welcome everyone to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant podcast and radio show. I am your host, Rebecca Whitman, helping you go from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. Today, we have Kate House on the show. Welcome to the show, Kate.
Oh, thank you so much. I am so glad to be here with you all.
I am so happy you're here. Let me tell my audience about your amazing background. So, Kate is a behavior change specialist. And she is an empowerment coach dedicated to helping high-achieving women who struggle with finding time for themselves. She is an inspiring voice behind the Top 2% podcast, an amazing show that I just had an honor to be a guest on called Live by Design, and she is an incredible host. I can see why your podcast is so successful. Her mission is to empower women to break free from overwhelm and to live their life with clarity and confidence. Through her signature Live by Design blueprint, she helps her clients set goals, cultivate healthy habits, and embrace self-care. So, Kate, often I hear that people teach what they had to learn themselves, and I'm just curious, what is your story? How did you get to be such an expert in the art of overcoming overwhelm and being prioritizing self-care?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Well, you're absolutely right. About 10 years ago, I like to kind of jokingly say that I had a quarter life crisis, but I turned 25 and I was very punctual. Right at 25, I had a quarter life crisis. I, up until that point, was the oldest and the oldest child in my family. So I was a classic overachiever, straight A student, Phi Beta Kappa in college, I was really good at ticking all the boxes that were expected of me. But I didn't really know how to stop and pause and ask myself, is this what I really want, right? I just did what was expected and I was really good at it. But then I got to 25 and I was working a 9-to-5 with incredible colleagues, amazing people I'm still friends with to this day, but it just wasn't my calling. It just wasn't the thing I wanted to spend the majority of my time doing. And I felt like I was at this crossroads of I was burnt out. And I felt like I either saw my future just staying the exact way that it was, doing that same thing every day for the next 30 years, or if I wanted to go a different way, it felt like that was the time to do it. And so I had this quarter life crisis. I remember sitting on my hand-me-down leather sofa in our Chicagoland apartment and just crying, and my husband was rubbing my back, and I remember him just saying, I wish I could make it better for you. And we don't all get a light bulb moment, right? Like, we don't all get that, like, huh? But I did. The light bulb turned on, and I realized two things in that moment. I realized nothing changes if nothing changes. And I realized what I'm not changing, I'm choosing. And in that moment, I was like, okay, I have to do something different. I have to find out.
I love that. I've got to write that down. What?
Yeah.
I'm choosing.
Yes, right. And that was the kick in the pants I needed to just get off my booty and to do it scared to figure out the next right step. And for me, that's what this whole journey, the last 10 years of self-discovery and personal growth and bettering myself just so I can be the person I want to be for myself and for the people that I love, has just been a series of what is the next right step? A lot of times we're taught, like, what's your 10-year plan? And that's great. I love a big vision. But then we get frozen in inaction, right? Because the dream seems too big, or we don't know where to start, or we get imposter syndrome, whatever it is, analysis paralysis, and we don't start. So for me, it's all about what is the next right step and just trusting yourself to take that next step.
So what were some of the big turning points, because you've been on this path of personal growth and discovery for 10 years and you're a successful coach and podcaster? What were some of your, like, books, podcasts, coaches, seminars that were big turning points to catapult you to success so fast?
Oh, I love this question. I think for me, the biggest thing has been choosing one new thing to learn and choosing one person to learn it from. Because I'm an ADHD adult. I want to learn all the things all at once. And I'm a recovering overachiever, right? So I want it all done yesterday. So for me, it's been about choosing one thing in the year to focus on and choosing that one person to learn it from. And so, for example, like when I started hosting virtual summits, I enrolled in a program by Krista Miller, I believe her name is. It's called Summit in a Box. And I was like, well, I don't need to reinvent the wheel here. I'm going to find somebody who knows how to do this well and learn from them, right? Amelia Travis was my business coach for a long time, right? So when I felt like when I started to transition my podcast from a just from like a passion project into part of my business, it's like, I don't know how to do that. So let me go find somebody who knows how to do this and get to learn from them. And so I think every time I invested in myself, it was a commitment to continue showing up, to do the work, to do what I say I'm going to do, right? To hold myself accountable, but to get to learn from other people and other women who have paved the way for me, right? Who are three or four steps ahead of me so that I get to learn from them. And, you know, I still make a lot of my own mistakes and I get to learn through experience. But I think just investing in myself has given me a lot of confidence, which I wouldn't have had without believing in myself enough to invest in myself, if that makes sense.
I totally get it. And I know you teach a lot about the comfort zone and how important it is to get outside your comfort zone. And if somebody's listening and they're like, well, Rebecca, I don't have any money to invest in myself, so how can I follow Kate's advice? What would you tell that person?
Oh, I would say, friend, there are so many amazing resources out there. First of all, this is coming from my 93-year-old grandma. The library is an incredible place to learn, and it is free. I have a library card. My little kids have library cards. We go regularly. I love reading. I love books. I love that you're an author, right? And so going to the library, you can get resources there. You don't have to Amazon it, right? You can go to the library, get the book out for free, and take your time digesting it. There are incredible podcasts, just like this show, out there to learn from. Yeah, of course. Like, we live in a time of information, right? So, and it's a double-edged sword because you can overwhelm yourself with information and get stuck. But I would just say, like, find that one voice. Like, if Rebecca is that voice that encourages you to live balanced and beautiful and abundant, like, just keep listening, keep learning, and just take one action item from each thing that you learn and start to implement it. So I would just say, start small. Start with an incredible resource that's free to you and then grow from there.
That is great advice. What was your first summit on?
Oh, so my first summit that I ever hosted is the Goals with Soul Summit. And it's all about helping women get clarity on what they desire and then implementing the daily and the weekly habits to make it happen, and about setting an annual intention, not a resolution, but an intention. How is it that you want to feel? But in classic Kate fashion, I hosted my first summit. I'd never even been in a summit, but I just knew it was the next right step for me. And so I enrolled in this program, and it was a little bit like building an airplane that's already in flight. But after the first one, I learned so much and I was able to impact hundreds of women. And since then, they've just continued to grow. I think we're in our third or fourth year of summits now, and they're so much fun. One of my favorite things that I get to do.
So since your first summit was Goals with Soul, what is your goal setting process that you teach your clients?
Absolutely. I love this question. Thank you, Rebecca. So I like to start, I think of it as having three tiers. I'm a very visual learner. I was a fine arts major in college. So the top tier is about setting this annual intention. So you might be listening to this in January. That's great. But if you're listening to an archive and it's a Wednesday in July, this absolutely still applies. So don't wait for the first of the year or the first of the month. Start today. And I just want people to think about, how do I want to feel as I move through this year over the next 12 months? How do I want to feel as I move through the year and as I end the year, right? And sometimes for us women who especially have maybe been in a season of burnout or overwhelm, we're like, Rebecca, Kate, I don't know what I want, but I can tell you what I don't want, right? I don't want to feel so tired. I don't want to feel so stressed, so anxious, all over the place, disorganized, whatever it is. just flip that word, right? So if you don't want to feel tired, maybe your intention is you want to feel energized. Mm-hmm. You want to feel less chaotic. Okay, maybe your word is present, right? So sometimes we have to think of it a little bit in reverse.
I like this. How you want to, if you're feeling something negative, how mm-hmm. you want to feel is just flip it over on its head to make it a positive.
Exactly. Sometimes I think there's this idea that like this word of the year just comes to us in this moment of inspiration. If that happens for you, friend, amazing. I love that for you. But usually for me and my community, we're like, yeah, no, I just don't want to feel this this one way. And we flip it. And the reason we start with the intention and the feeling is because that gets to act as kind of our North Star. So as we make decisions, we get to say, does this support me feeling present, energized, empowered, whatever your word is, does this support that or does it take away from that? And it makes it so much easier for us recovering people pleasers out there, or, you know, those of us who just want to say yes to everything because life is exciting and we want to say yes to all the things, but we only have so much time and energy, right? So let's make our yeses heck yeses and our no's kind but empowered no's, right? And so we set this intention so that when we have to make decisions, and we all get decision fatigue, right? It allows it to be a little bit easier to have that clarity moving forward. So that's the first part.
Okay. And what is your word for this year?
Oh, well, I've been playing around with it. I'm pretty sure my word is going to be energized. I'm coming out of a season of having long COVID, and I'm naturally a pretty energetic person, but I've had to learn how to rest, which has been probably going to be like a whole topic for a book one day because it's been quite a process. So I think this year my word is energized, but kind of coupling that with those seasons of being quieter and giving myself permission to rest and take things at a slower pace in order to fuel that energy. So that's my word this year. Do you have one for this year?
I do. I have two, bold and bossy.
Oh, I love that.
I'm a recovering people pleaser. And I, just like you just said, say yes to too many things. And then I get exhausted, burned and drained out and drained. So I am just saying no. And also I have a team now and I get to be more direct about asking for what I want. So you and I are just so alike, Kate. It's amazing. We teach similar things and we are, you know, growing in a similar way. So I'm so glad that we connected today. Yes. What was the rest of your goal setting process? You said there were three tiers.
Yep, three tiers. So we start with that annual intention. Then that informs the second tier, which is what I like to call a goal with soul, right? So this is something I've explored a lot through my summits, through my podcast. Goal with soul, right? Because so
right, goal with
right, because I love it, right? Because sometimes, right, we set goals because it's what we think is expected of us, right? And and if you're a high achiever, you're probably really good at attaining those goals. But you attain it, and you're like, okay, you're not fired up about it. So to me, a goal with soul, it's four things.
Wow. Okay. I hope you guys, if you're on the treadmill or driving, pause this and come back to it and take notes. Do not pull off the highway and like run anybody over because this is getting juicy. I'm someone who loves a good framework. So there's three tiers of goals. And then within the second tier, there's four aspects of it.
Yes, exactly.
So what are your goal with soul, the four aspects?
So the four aspects, and we can talk about each individually, but as a overall picture, it is aspirational.
Yeah.
It is attainable. It's meaningful. And it's seasonally appropriate.
Wow. I am going to pause you right here. We are going to cut to a commercial break. And when we come back, you guys don't go anywhere because Kate is going to finish breaking down the three tiers of goal setting. She's going to expand more on the four things that we just discussed, which is setting a goal with soul. And this is just the perfect thing for you guys to hear in the beginning of the year or anytime, because we don't want to set goals and just like, okay, yeah, whatever, now what? We want to make them attainable, fun, celebrate them. So come back in 2 minutes so Kate will break down how to set a goal with soul.
How clean is the water you're drinking and bathing in? If you call Aquasana Water today, they'll provide you with a free assessment telling you the condition of your tap water. Aquasana sells whole house water filters starting at $1,000. Isn't that worth it to have a 10-year supply of filtered, cleaner water? Aquasana water filters tackle chlorine taste and odor and can reduce contaminants like viruses, lead, forever chemicals, and microplastics, depending on the system you purchased. So make the free call, find out the condition of your water, and make your water cleaner the Aquasana way. It's a smart decision for you and your family and a must for a healthy home. Get a whole house Aquasana water system starting at $1,000 for your entire home. Call and find out the condition of your water with a free water assessment. 800-925-6029. 800-925-6029. 800-925-6029. That's 800-925-6029.
Everything is expensive right now. Gas, food, you name it. You're spending more, you are making the same or less money. So, what do? You rack up credit card debt, that's what you do. It's not your fault, it's the economy. And guess what? If you rack up too much credit card debt like some of us, you can't pay your bills. Then the credit card companies, as nice as they are, start hounding you for money. Then you start your downward spiral. A smart thing for you to do is to call the Zero Debt. They can help you consolidate all your credit card bills into one affordable payment. Millions of people have done it. It works to make you debt-free. Make this free call right now. It costs you nothing to learn more.
800-628-5675. 800-628-5675. 800-628-5675. That's 800-628-5675.
Hey there, gorgeous. Quick question. Do you want to look younger, feel stronger, and glow like the star that you are? Of course you do, honey. So here's the deal. Your body wants to age gracefully, but stress, sugar, and time are not on your side. Enter the game changer you didn't know you needed, liquid collagen. This isn't your average powdery chalky mess. Oh no, honey, this is next level science. Our liquid collagen has a 93% bioavailability rate. Powder collagen is 30% at best. This means your hair, skin, nails, joints get the VIP treatment. If you want to reduce wrinkles, feel amazing in your body, and turn heads, this is your glow up in a bottle. Don't wait. Your future self is literally begging for this. Click the link in the show notes to grab your bottle today. But hurry, supplies are limited and this kind of fabulous will not last forever. You deserve this. Now go shine like the balanced, beautiful, and abundant star that you are. Welcome back, everyone. You are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show with Rebecca Whitman. We're taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant. And today we have Kate House. She's a speaker and a coach, and she is teaching us how to set a goal with soul. Go ahead, Kate.
Yes, thank you so much, Rebecca. I'm so glad to be here with everybody. Yes, so I like to say that a goal with soul is four things. And the first is that it's aspirational. So when I say this, I mean future Rebecca, future Kate, future listener. You got this. You're like, yep, this is in my wheelhouse. This is in my comfort zone. This is something like that person can absolutely do. Current you, maybe it's just outside your comfort zone, right? James Clear tells us in Atomic Habits to work on things that are 4% outside of our comfort zone. So I'm not saying this is wildly outside of your comfort zone. It's just enough to give you some butterflies maybe, or like make you a little bit sweaty.
Butterflies are fun.
Right? They're good. They're great. It means you're doing something that feels important to you, right? So it's a goal that is aspirational. Future you's got this. Current you's like, oh, I got to get a little bit of gumption to do it, but she can totally take action on it. The second part of a goal with soul, and these might seem like they're opposites, but I actually think they pair really well together, is that it's attainable. So if you show up consistently, you can attain this goal. And we do this because we want to create something called success momentum. And that's basically just getting wins and feeling the success that comes with it. And that encourages you to keep going. So a goal with soul doesn't have to be this huge, ginormous goal. If I had started off in my podcasting journey of saying I wanted a top 2% podcast within, I don't know, 6 months or something, I would have stopped because it took me 4 years to get there, right? Or 3 years to get there. Instead, my first goal with Soul with my podcast was just to create a podcast and to do it consistently, right? And so that was the attainable piece for me and that goal with Soul. So it's aspirational. Future you can do this. Current you is a little excited, nervous, and it's attainable. If you show up consistently over the next 6 months, over the next 12 months, you can achieve this goal. And sometimes you can have multiple goals with Soul that stack on each other. So it's aspirational, it's attainable. The next one is it's meaningful. And this is where, right, a lot of us get stuck here because, you know, for us high achievers, for us recovering people pleasers, right, we were really good at doing the things that were expected of us. But maybe we didn't feel personally tied to it. So I like to say it's kind of cheesy, but you can't spell meaningful without the word me. So this just has to be important to you. You don't need to justify it to your best friend, your partner, your parents, your siblings, your kids, whomever. It just has to be important to you. So if your goal with Soul is you want to carve out time for yourself and you want to do something creative, amazing, right? Your goal with Soul doesn't have to be this big shiny thing that other people look at and give you accolades for. It can just be something that's important to your heart. And on that note, if you have negative Nancys in your life, don't share your goal with Soul with them. They're probably going to bring you down because you're challenging their beliefs about themselves in pursuing something that's important to you. So if there's somebody that you know, if I tell that person that I'm pursuing this thing, they're just going to tear me down. Just don't tell them. That's okay. You don't have to tell everybody. Tell the people that are going to build you up.
Exactly. So or just right? Away. If you have somebody who's always tearing you down, like why even be friends with them?
Right, but, exactly. Yeah. Get that energy vampire out of here.
Walk away.
Exactly. So
what is the fourth step?
And then our final piece of a goal with Soul is that it's seasonally appropriate. Now, I don't necessarily mean like it's January, so this is like a goal you do in the winter. I mean, what season of life are you in? Are you going through a big transition? Do you have a newborn? Are you caring for an ailing parent? Are you working full-time and going to school, right? Think about the season of life you're in, or maybe you're an empty nester and now you have more time than you've had in the past, or you're feeling better after a chronic illness, right, that you're getting through. Whatever it is, let's just be really real with ourselves about what season of life we're in. Because if anyone listening is anything like me, it's like, I want to do all the things all at once. And then I have to take a beat and be like, okay, but what is my energy like in this season? Right now, both my boys for the first time ever are in school full time. And so this is the year that I'm writing my book. And that's my goal with Soul. And my goal with Soul isn't have a New York Times bestseller. That'd be great. But the goal right now, the goal with Soul is my first draft. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I mean when I say you can have these smaller goals with Soul that stack on each other, right? So my goal with Soul right now is write the first draft. If this was my goal with Soul 2 years ago, I would have felt so defeated because I was a full-time stay-at-home mom with two kids at home right then. And so I didn't have the time, I didn't have the energy to show up and write in the way that I want to and to serve and support others in the way that I would want to. And so this is just an opportunity for us from a place of kindness for ourselves to just check ourselves. What season am I in? Do I have a lot of time? Do I have a lot of energy? Do I have support? Do I have financial resources? What does that look like for you? And without judgment, just kindness for yourself, allow that to inform your goal with Soul. So that's the framework for our goals with Soul. It's informed by our annual intention. And then it's a goal that kind of checks all these boxes, right? Aspirational, attainable, meaningful, and seasonally appropriate.
Okay, now that was the second tier. Let's go back to the three tiers of goal setting.
Yes, we've got our annual intention. We pick our goal with Soul. And I like to say, just work on one goal with Soul at a time. I know we've got a lot of high achievers out there who are like, but I want to work on eight. I say one. If you have to have more than one, go for two, but no more than that. And then we take it down to a more granular level. And this is really where being a behavior change specialist is helpful because this is where we talk about our daily and our weekly habits. You know, there's that saying, how you spend your day is how you spend your life. And so if we're going to work towards achieving this goal with Soul, if we're going to work towards feeling the way we desire, aka our intention for the year, that happens in our day-to-day lives. And I never want to teach goals from the standpoint of delaying joy and gratification and happiness for when we achieve the goal, because our life is right now. It's on the Wednesday afternoon when we're, when we're recording this conversation together. And so what can you layer into your daily and weekly routines that supports you bringing this goal to soul to fruition, and helps you show up in the way that you desire? And so we start that by looking at habit stacking. So habit stacking is a really simple approach to implementing something new. Like, I drink coffee. So when I start my coffee maker in the morning, a way to stack a habit is take something you already do without thinking and add that new habit next to it. So I brew my coffee, and then maybe your intention is to be more present this year. So you meditate for 1 minute when your coffee starts to brew. That's called a habit stack. Another thing you can do is habit pairing. So if you have to empty the dishwasher every night, for example, like, I'm in a season of life, I don't know, the dishwasher always needs emptying. I pop in some earbuds and I listen to a podcast that I find inspiring, because that motivates me to keep showing up and learning and serving the way that I do, right? And so that's my kind of education piece that supports me in achieving my goal with Soul, of writing my book, of staying motivated and excited to achieve it. And when I empty the dishwasher, I just pop in those earbuds, and that's a habit pair. So where you get to do one habit you already do and you pair something new with it.
I love that. I habit pair my morning, like waking up with my personal growth. I throw my AirPods and then going to bed. So I think it's so great to habit pair and do your personal growth and listen to podcasts or Audibles or YouTubes or however you're learning. So how are you habit stacking or, budgeting the time to write in your busy life? Because I think the hardest thing about writing a book, since I've written a few, is just sitting in front of the computer and actually doing it, because there's so many distractions.
Oh my gosh.
How are you disciplining yourself to write?
Yes. Oh, so it's a couple of things. The first is that I actually think my best when I'm moving. And so you can't see it, it's off screen, but I have one of those walking pads, which were like all the rage in 2013, 2024, or 2023, 2024.
Like a little treadmill.
Like a little treadmill that I put under my sit-stand desk. I'm standing right now. I'm not walking right now.
Walking right now?
No, I'm just standing right now. But so I find actually when I write, I actually walk on my walking pad, but I'm not typing my book. I've learned that because I've been a podcaster for so long and I love to talk, it's actually easier for me to voice dictate my words and then massage those into more of a readable format. So I literally just set up my walking pad. I turn on my microphone, I get my voice dictation going, I look at the outline for the chapter that I'm on, and I just start talking and walking. And it's a little messy, yeah, of course, but it's getting done. And it's getting done in a way that works for me, right? If I had to sit down and type on the computer, like, it would be such a slow and arduous process for me, to the point that I probably would like procrastinate by doing other things. And so I had to find a way of how do I write, how do I share this information, but in a way that feels good for me. And I use that as an example because I want friends who are hearing this, who are like, well, I have this idea of a goal whistle or an intention, but they feel limited by something, right? They're like, I'm not X, Y, or Z enough to do this thing, right? But how can you just turn it and how can you make it accessible for you, right? And so for me, that looks like walking and talking at the same time.
You schedule it in your calendar?
Yes, I do. So yeah. I do morning drop off for my boys. I drive them to school. We do our little, affirmations for the day, all that stuff. I go work out at my alma mater because I can use the gym there. And then I come home. I'm still in workout gear at that point. I put on real clothes for you guys, but at that point, I'm still in my workout gear. I think my best, and I write/talk my best in the morning. So I get movement in first, like an actual workout. And then I get here, I put on the walking pad, and that's like go time for me. Like, if I let myself do other things, then I'll get distracted. I'll, X, Y, or Z. And then before I know it, I'm like four loads of laundry deep and I haven't written anything, right? So for me, the cue, action, reward of the habit loop is I come home from the gym. Is the cue is coming in through my garage door. The action is I set up my walking pad and I start it, because once you're on it, you're on it. And then the reward is when the chapter is written, I feel so good, right? And then I can go about and do the rest of the things in my day. Because if I if I miss that morning window and I'm like, I'll just do it later in the day, it never happens. Life happens. Kids yeah. get sick, dogs bark, whatever. Like, I run out of energy because I'm getting over long COVID, right? You know, I just don't know what the rest of the day is going to look like. But if I can get that morning window, it feels so good. And so that's kind of how I layer it into my daily routine so that I can achieve this goal with Soul, so that I can, you know, continue feeling the way I feel, which is I want to feel energized, and working on the book and publishing it is energetically a really beautiful thing.
And what app or software do you use to dictate into?
Just a Google Doc. There's like an option inside of like a Google Doc, just like voice. I think it's like voice typing, I think it's called. And I just do that. And it's so accessible. It works well for me. Otherwise, if I had to type it out, I overthink things. But I could talk. I mean, I'm a podcaster. I could talk to a wall, yeah. right?
You're a great talker. We are going to stop here for a quick commercial break. When we come back, we are going to talk about your favorite health and wellness tips, because I know you're like me. You're really into health and wellness. So everybody, you are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. I'm interviewing Kate House. Come back in 2 minutes. She is going to talk about her favorite health and wellness tips. And you are not going to want to miss these, because we all want to get our health and wellness to the next level, especially if you're listening in the beginning of the year. We'll see you guys in a minute.
People ask all the time, who the heck is low-cost airlines? Well, we're not just one airline. When you're talking to us, you're talking to everyone. We are the discount supermarket for all airline tickets. Plus, we have all the airlines and always have the best prices. American, Delta, United, plus all the specialized international airlines and a lot more. And we make it easy. We guarantee you'll talk to a live human in 60 seconds. You can have the rates you need and have your trip booked in 5 minutes. Now, how cool is that? And remember, when you're talking to us, it's like talking to every single airline available with one fast phone call. All you need to do is call and find the best prices to fly wherever it is you want to go. So are you ready? Call Low Cost Airlines right now. 800-451-8603. 800-451-8603. 800-451-8603. That's 800-451-8603.
Hey there, fellow travelers. It's me, the Hotel Wiz. Before you go anywhere, call me day or night for hotel rates too low to publish. I'll save you up to 75% on over 500,000 hotels across the globe. You see, I've already done the research, so you don't have to spend time online trying to find the best deal. That's up to 75% off. Just call me, the Hotel Wiz. It's a free call, and you get instant access to rates too low to publish with no cancellation fees.
Make a free call now and save up to 75% off your hotel rooms the next time you're going somewhere for business or pleasure. Call the Hotel Wiz now and get instant access to rates too low to publish. 800-590-1163. 800-590-1163. 800-590-1163. Call the Hotel Wiz right now for rates too low to publish. 800-590-1163.
Okay, can I be real for a second? You're out there crushing it in some areas of your life, but in others, it's like a hot mess express. Sound familiar? Here's the thing. You're not just meant to survive, you're meant to thrive. And that's exactly what I help my clients do in my coaching program. Together, we'll tackle all 7 pillars of abundance, because who wants killer abs but a dumpster fire of a bank account? Or a thriving career but zero in the romance department? Yeah, no thanks. I'm inviting you to schedule a breakthrough call with me. No pressure, no awkward sales pitch, just you, me, and a chance to figure out why you're stuck and how to get unstuck. So stop doom scrolling and start doing something about it. Click the link in the show notes and let's start giving you your best, most bougie life. You in? All right, everyone. Welcome back. You are listening to the Balanced, Beautiful, and Abundant Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Whitman. taking you from burned out and overwhelmed to balanced, beautiful, and abundant with a wonderful guest, Kate House. She is a coach, a speaker. She is all about health and wellness, and she coaches her clients on their health goals, among many other things, as well as business goals. So what are some of your favorite health and wellness tips that you and your clients are benefiting from these days?
Ooh, okay. Well, I know, like you, Rebecca, you love a morning routine. Yeah. And so that's one of the top things that I suggest for people is to start your day the way that you want to feel throughout the rest of the day, right? Because it's like a domino effect. If you can start the day from a place of feeling centered, inspired, energized, you know, whatever that is that you desire, doing the thing that supports you feeling that way starts your day off in such a positive way. But the thing I start with my clients, and the thing that I've started with myself first, because I always like to say I'm my first client, is before the morning routine for me can really be successful, we have to look at the evening routine, right? Because if you're staying up, you know, doom scrolling on your phone or revenge bedtime procrastination, and you're staying up super late and it's like 1 a.m. when you go to bed.
Wait, what? Revenge bedtime procrastination? I've never heard, I've heard of doom scrolling, but enlighten me.
Oh, okay. So revenge bedtime procrastination, I learned about from my friend Monica Packer from About Progress. She has a podcast. Okay. And it's when you pour so much of yourself into everybody else throughout your day that when you get to the evening and your kids are in bed or, you know, your work day is over, you finally have time for yourself. You're like, well, I need some me time. And I just want to like pour into myself a little bit. And so you stay up really late to your own detriment the next day to try to get that time for yourself. And it might, maybe you're doing something really wonderful with that time, like a passion project or something creative, or you're reading, but sometimes it's like just staying up really late Netflix binging because you're just like, I just want some time for myself. But then it hurts you the next day.
Okay, got it. So yes, the evening routine, and then we'll get into your morning routine. I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, so the evening routine for me just means giving yourself a bedtime. And I know sometimes that can feel a little silly when you're like, I'm an adult, I can go to bed whenever I want. Well, yeah, that's true. But we, you know, the science shows us that having a consistent sleep schedule is really helpful. And I need a lot of sleep. I get like 8 to 9 hours of sleep a night. So I go to bed before 9 p.m. most nights. And for me, the bedtime routine starts about an hour before actually going to sleep, which looks like, you know, taking a nice warm shower, putting on my pajamas, brushing my teeth, right? All those little things. It looks like not being on a screen and reading a book. I love to read romantic fantasy. These books are just for pure enjoyment, but I'll just sit in bed and read a book and let my monkey chatter of my mind just kind of mellow out, start to get into that good kind of sleep space. And I even put on my workout clothes for the next morning ahead of time because morning Kate is like, I am not a night owl or an early bird. I'm like a 8 a.m. bird, but I can't sleep that late because I have to get my kids to school. So I need to do everything ahead of time to set up future Kate for success. So I put out my workout clothes. Sometimes I even get like my water bottle out for the next day. And so to me, you know, getting a good night's sleep is key. So that way the next day when your alarm goes off, you're not like snoozing it 1,000 times, right? So for me, the nighttime, it blends into the morning. And then I like to use Mel Robbins' 5-second rule, the 5-4-3-2-1, and then you launch yourself into action. So I have to do that when my alarm goes off because I love to snooze.
That takes a lot of discipline because I do 5-4-3-2-1 snooze.
Yeah. It's tough, right?
About it, but it's not the easiest thing to do. So good for
exactly.
You.
Oh, thank you. Well, and it's double-edged because I know if my alarm goes off more than once, then my kids will hear it. They're like the deepest sleepers, but I swear they hear my alarm and they're right up. But if I want time for myself, I'm like, I got to get down there before everybody else is awake. And then for me, it's just about having some quiet time to start the day. I don't feel motivated to do like a big workout first thing in the morning. It's just not the season of life that I'm in. I work out after school drop off when I'm a little bit more awake, but that looks like using that time to have a protein rich breakfast. It looks like doing my gratitude practice. Looks like hydrating before I drink coffee, which I can't say I always do, but I attempt to do. And it looks like just having some time to to just kind of get my head around the day, whether that's through journaling, whether that's through looking at my calendar, whether that's through meditating, but just giving myself a more proactive start today instead of the reactionary start where like you're waking up and the day's already getting away from you and you're like hurrying everybody out the door. I just don't like that energy. And so for me, it's just about being proactive and getting the day started in the way that I want it to continue.
I love that. Going at a pace that is feminine and in flow and not like hysterical and like getting everybody like, you know, everybody's nerves jangled. So speaking of that, how do you prevent overwhelm? I know you have two kids, 5 and 7. You run a business with, you know, all kinds of different online and, you know, in-person aspects. You're married. What do you do and how do you help yourself and your clients to prevent overwhelm?
I say the number one thing is the calendar. And it seems like such a, like, I don't know, simple answer, but I can tell very easily by looking at the calendar for the week ahead if I'm setting myself up for a good week or a week where I feel overwhelmed. So for example, Rebecca and I have been chatting today. We're recording together for both of our shows. And so we're spending a lot of time together. It's a big energy output in the best way. But because of that, I know I can only do one of those in a day. Right. And if I have a day where two got scheduled somehow, I'm like, we got to reschedule one of these because I can't show up to the best of my ability in that way. So a lot of it for me is about this energetic time management, right? So looking at my week ahead, am I scheduled out the way that I need to be so that I can show up well in my career, but also for myself and also for my family? And a lot of it too looks like communicating with my husband. He's an incredible partner. He's like always been my number one cheerleader. And he's also the first person to be like, I think you're overextending yourself. And so we look at the calendar on a weekly basis and ask ourselves like, okay, like, are we overextending ourselves? Have we left enough margin, right? Because we've got two little kids, they're sick every other day, right? So if we've got things scheduled every hour of the day and activities every night or something, like that just doesn't work for the season of life we're in. And so, you know, we go over that together and we're very okay with saying no to things. And that's something that I have to work with my clients on a lot is looking at the calendar and asking yourself, like, what do you see as an opportunity that's on your calendar and what feels like an obligation? And
that is a great distinction. What feels like an opportunity and what feels like an obligation?
Yeah. Sometimes you have to make things pretty black and white to be able to see the difference. Now, we live in a world of gray, but sometimes you have to find those extremes to make that decision-making a little bit easier. So does it feel like an opportunity? Does it feel like an obligation? There might be people who are like, you know what? Being on the PTA feels like a great opportunity. That's like their bread and butter. For me, that would feel like an obligation, right? And so we just look at the calendar and we say opportunity or obligation. And then for somebody who has a hard time saying no to things, I like to call it like a yes, no, yes sandwich, like to make this really actionable. So like the first thing I do is I say like, thank you for inviting me to do this thing. It sounds wonderful that, you know, like something really genuine, heartfelt, something positive. And then comes the no, like, but this isn't the right time for me to do this, or my schedule doesn't allow it. You don't need to apologize for saying no. Just say no in a kind but empowered way. And then end it with something positive. Like, no, I can't do this, but I think this person might be a great fit. And like, you know, make sure you check with that person first so they're okay with that. But, you know, end it in a positive way. Like, oh, I'm sure this will have an incredible impact. Or please consider me for a future year when my schedule allows, right? Like, it can be anything you want, but just empower yourself to protect your time and to protect your energy. And I find that to be so helpful in so many areas of life.
A yes, no sandwich. That is good. Now, there's some things that I have to do for obligation, and there's certain family members that I have to spend time with that are not like the most enjoyable people. Not that they're bad. I just feel like really we don't have a lot in common to talk about. And I'm like you. I'm like ADHD. I have to be like entertained and stimulated every minute. So what would you tell someone that does have to do certain things out of obligation? How would they be able to keep their vibe high and not get drained or burned out from that?
Yeah. Okay. So this is something I learned from my mom when I was a child, but it still absolutely applies in adulthood. And it was this idea of a 2-hour friend. So I had friends in elementary school who were really high energy and a lot to be around, but I also really enjoyed their company. But my mom could tell that after 2 hours with these friends, I was like kaput. And so we would call them 2-hour friends. We didn't tell them that, right? But we'd be like, okay, like you're going to go do this play date. I'm a little kid, right? But it's a 2-hour friend. So mom's going to come back in 2 hours and get me, right? So that would be my challenge to you is the first piece is, okay, identify the 2-hour friends in your life. The people that you're like, I have to spend time with this person. It's a family member, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Maybe you limit the amount of time. Maybe it's a 1-hour friend. That's okay too, right? But figure out, you know, what that amount of time is that you can be with them, be present, and not feel completely taxed by the end. Mm-hmm. And then I would say to either before or after, depending on which resonates best for you, schedule something on your calendar the way you would a meeting that is replenishing for you. So if going for a walk in nature makes you feel centered, makes you feel refreshed, like maybe you go spend time with this 2-hour friend and then you schedule on your calendar a meeting with yourself to go for a walk, right? Do something that is replenishing if your schedule can allow, or if you have a busy day ahead, maybe it's something that you carve out time for yourself in the evening, right? But just really purposely choose what that activity is so you don't have to make a decision in the moment when you're already feeling kind of depleted, and make that time a priority. It's easy to put ourselves on the back burner, but when you have one of those obligations, how can you also couple it with something that kind of brings you back up or just rejuvenates you? Maybe that's sitting and reading a book. That's like my favorite activity to rejuvenate myself, right? And that's a very still activity, and that's okay to do too. Like it's okay to rest. It's okay to kind of replenish your stores.
I love that you're into romance novels, and that is such a nice guilty pleasure.
Yes.
What are one of your favorite romance novels?
Oh man. Well, I have them all behind me. So I've always been a voracious reader, just for a little hindsight, but I was reading just personal growth book after personal growth book for a long time. And I was learning, but I wasn't pausing enough to implement what I learned. So then I just felt crappy because I was like, I have the head knowledge, but I'm not doing it, right? And so I started this thing that I like to call buffer books. And so I would read like a personal growth book and then I would read a romantic book, right? And so, but then I fell into romantic fantasy, so like Sarah J. Maas books. And like they're like,
I don't know anything about that genre. Who's the author? Sarah J.
Sarah J. Maas, I think is how you say her last name. And they're just so fun. They're like very female empowerment oriented books. And I like them so much now that I end up reading, instead of a buffer book, it's like a buffer series. So I'll read like a 4-book series and then I'll go read, you know, a personal growth style book. But they just help me like have fun again. I think I got into adulthood and I got so into the mode of doing and, you know, getting the to-do list done, taking care of the family. And, you know, how many women do you talk to and you're like, well, what do you do for fun? And they're like, I don't know. You know?
What's fun?
And, you know, I had that realization a few years ago and I was like, well, I love to read. Like, but why don't I read for not just education? Why don't I just read for fun? And my gosh, and the whole world, I mean, there's like a whole, you know, Bookstagram out there that you can fall down into, and it's a great place to be. And it's just fun and silly. And sometimes you need that in life.
Exactly. I totally agree. You strike me as someone who is fun, like the life of the party. So I can't see you ever being like so bogged down by your to-do list. So you've definitely transformed from burned out to balanced, beautiful, and abundant, which is the intention of this show. So Kate, how can people stay in touch with you? What do you have coming up?
Oh, thanks so much for having me here, Rebecca. This is such a pleasure. Yes. Yeah, so everywhere I'm Miss Kate House. There's another Kate House in the world. She beat me to everything. So I am Miss Kate House. So MS Kate House, just like a house. That's my website, MissKateHouse.com. I'm most active over on Instagram when it comes to social media, so at Miss Kate House. And yeah, I have lots of fun things coming up. I'm dropping my first book or releasing my first book this year. That'll be coming out, yay, sometime this summer. I'm so excited. I have my Goals with Soul Summit that I host in the spring. So if you go over to my website, MissKateHouse.com, I would love to gift your community, if that's okay, with coupon code Whitman, which is Rebecca's last name. So W-H-I-T-M-A-N. That'll give you complimentary access to last year's All Access Pass. So the 2024 Goals with Soul Summit. So it's $97 value for everyone for free. Cause I want all of us to get to lean into these goals with soul in a really empowered and confident way. So if you enjoy that, if you take advantage of that, then join us live for the 2025 Goals with Soul. We always have different speakers. You know, we keep building on what we learned year after year. So those are my big things. That's my big one thing that I picked this year is the book. And then continue doing the things that I love, like the summit, like the podcast. Rebecca's a recent guest over on the Live by Design podcast. So if you look that up anywhere you listen to your podcasts, you can come join us in Living by Design and Not by Default together.
Thank you so much, Kate, for being amazing. And thank you, listeners, whether you're listening on a major podcast platform, on the Everyday Woman's TV network, we're on a radio station like AM The King in Atlanta. We definitely appreciate you spreading the word about this show. Keep sharing it with your friends and family. Keep sharing the mission of showing people that they can live life successfully and achieve their goals with joy, without burnout. And this is just an incredible journey that we're all on together. And thank you for being part of the community. We will see you next week with another amazing guest. And until we meet again, keep your vibe high and magnetized. Bye, everyone.
There are three types of people listening to this. The first type reached for their goals and failed. The second type achieved their goals and they were not fulfilled. They wanted more. And the third type achieved their goals at the expense of their health and happiness. Well, I have great news. I am inviting you to enjoy a mindset manifestation mastermind with me at the luxurious Palmaya at Aya Spa in Playa del Carmen, Mexico. Picture this, crystal clear waters, white sandy beaches, and you at one of the most luxurious resorts in Mexico, unlocking the life you've been dreaming of. From January 23rd to 26th at the breathtaking five-star Palmaya at Aya Resort and Spa in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, I am hosting my Manifestation Mindset Retreat. It will be your chance to reset, realign, and manifest your most balanced, beautiful, and abundant life. Imagine mornings filled with transformational workshops, afternoons indulging in spa treatments and lounging by the pool, and evenings connecting with like-minded women under the stars. This isn't just a retreat. It's a total mindset makeover in paradise. You'll leave with the tools to manifest more love, success, and abundance than you ever thought possible. Spots are limited. This life-changing experience will sell out. Go to the link in show notes to reserve your spot today. Thank you so much, Melissa, for leaving us the review of the week. She gives us 5 stars and says, amazing results every time. I've listened to a lot of podcasts over the years, but Rebecca has a way of pulling more from her guests than I think they even realize about themselves. Her candid conversation always sparkles, and I've had to pull over and listen because I was so hung up on the topic. Absolute must-have topics for any woman, both personally and professionally. Well, thank you so much for your positive review, Melissa, and everybody else who's listening out there. Please leave us a 5-star review, and we will share your testimony on the show. And if your testimony gets shared, you will get a special gift from me. So make sure to leave that review and keep listening to the show.